Hi, I'm Tom Parker from Parker & Associates with Notes Page. Today, we'll be talking with Jim Endicott, the president of Distinction Communication in Portland, Oregon. Jim is a nationally recognized executive coach and industry consultant who helps his customers tell their important stories more effectively. Jim and his team work with client companies ranging from several of Intel's top executives to small business startups and about everything in between. Today, Jim and I will be discussing the topic of when presentations explode, how to flex when disaster strikes. Now, I know a lot of people are listening intently on this one, so welcome, Jim.
Hey, thanks, Tom, for having me.
First of all, your bio talks about helping customers tell their stories more effectively. Now, what does that mean exactly?
That probably goes way back to when I was first starting the business, and I was trying to understand what kind of context to put presentations in. And I had just been to the library that last Saturday morning, and I remember seeing a gentleman who was sitting there telling a story to about five or six squirming little 5 or 6-year-olds, and they were sitting there in front of him, and he was a masterful presenter. As I watched him, he started off, and he had a lot of energy and excitement in his voice, and he made eye contact just regularly with all the kids around him. And then every once in a while, he would flip open the storybook and show them that big picture on the page where they could look at it and understand, okay, that's what's going on in the story. Then he would get back into the story again and pause very strategically at times. And then he would get all the way to the end of the story and wrap it up and hold eye contact and conclude. And as I watched that, I thought, you know what? This guy has got all the skills nailed down that will keep a board of directors riveted for 30 minutes. It is the exact same type of skill set. So we adopted that metaphor into our business and really look at it in three ways. We look at the presentation storyline. You know, what story are we trying to communicate? How's it going to resonate with the hearts and minds of busy people? The illustrated story, what kind of visual tools are we going to use so people actually get our ideas more quickly? And finally, Tom, it's the storyteller. There is a flesh and blood conduit between the message and the audience, and what kind of value do we add to that process?
And that could be learned.
Yep, absolutely.
Does everybody, Jim, experience major disasters at some point in time, or are the small things the ones that trip us up?
Well, you know what? There was a time, I think, when major disasters were a little more commonplace. You know, you go back about 12 or 15 years, and laptop computers, I mean, you were almost guaranteed one lockup in the middle of a big presentation, and then you'd have to do this lengthy reboot. But today, it's not so much the big stuff. You know, today it's the remote pointing device that doesn't seem to be working right, or the embedded audio that doesn't play, or the video that stops abruptly. And so that's why we have to think through that process ahead of time and not be caught off guard, so we have kind of a game plan when things don't go right.
Okay, let's talk about that game plan. I'm standing there, my PowerPoint has just gone south in a big way, and I am there standing right in front of 50 people wondering what to do. What should I do next?
It sounds like you've been in that position before. Well, the first thing, Tom, is don't freak. I mean, our tendency is our heartbeat starts to race, we start to get sweaty palms, but our audience is also reflect us. If we get panicky and anxious and nervous, it's going to turn our audiences into very anxious, nervous, panicky audiences. They want us to do well. So the thought process I normally go through is something like this. I think, okay, how much time do I have left? And if I'm somewhere near the end of the presentation, I will have a very crisp 60 or 90 second type close already prepared. Because the last thing I want to do is be right near the end of the presentation, something doesn't go right, and I'm fumbling around, I'm trying to get the technology to work, I'm asking them to kind of, I'll have this fixed in a minute, and it can totally destroy that final impression of our presentation. So if it's somewhere near the end that something happens, then I will definitely go to my close. But oftentimes it's not at the end. Maybe it's in the middle of our presentation. And if we have breaks planned, maybe a good time to say, you know what, this is a great time for a break. And that gives us just a little bit of time to go out, get things fixed, and then re-engage when they come back in the room. Now, the other thing, too, is that sometimes disasters can happen at any time. And I always keep a printed set of handouts that I've kind of made notes on really close by, because we should be able to deliver important presentations without the use of PowerPoint. And unfortunately, we've got so accustomed to having that PowerPoint crutch there that I've heard people say they've had to just bail out and stop a presentation when their PowerPoint stopped working. So it puts a lot more pressure on our delivery skills, but that's just part of being prepared.
So if something is going to go wrong in a presentation, Jim, what are the usual culprits for presenters today?
Well, like we talked about, it's not necessarily the big things anymore. It's kind of the things that sometimes are outside our control. I remember one time I was presenting at a hotel to a couple hundred people in a banquet room, and I had practiced. Everything was just great. I was ready to go. And about 10 minutes into my presentation, I discovered very abruptly that the dish room for the hotel was like right adjacent to this meeting room. And all of a sudden there was this clanging of dishes and things that created just a huge distraction. And I'm not quite sure how I would have foreseen that. But most of the things that we're going to run into are going to be more in the minor glitch category with the room, the laptop, the audio, the lighting in the rooms, maybe cell phone type things. But the big key for presenters is we need to be adaptive communicators.
How about some tips then to leave us with on preparedness for, avoiding disaster for presenters?
Okay. Well, they say that there are three types of presentations. There's the presentation you plan to give, the presentation you actually gave, and the third one is the presentation you wish you would have given.
That's the one I always think of as I'm driving off.
That's right. If you could just have do-overs in presentations, but it just doesn't seem to work that way. Well, what I would suggest is the first thing is in the preparation step. I think disaster preparedness kind of starts ahead of time. So we get in the room early. We test our technology out. I'll go through and play all the videos to make sure that they're embedded and linked correctly. Sometimes I'll walk the sight lines up in front of the room and make sure that I'm not going to be getting between somebody in the far right-hand corner and the screen itself. I also try to anticipate the usual technology issues. I remember one time I was using an IR, infrared pointing device, and my presentation just started advancing all by itself, and it was a little unnerving. What I would discover, and this was many years ago, is that sometimes fluorescent lighting can wreak havoc with IR pointing devices, so I just come a little bit more prepared for when those things happen and maybe switch over to a radio frequency one. I also walk the stage. If I can find out ahead of time where the squeaks are, sometimes I'll mark those. But probably one of the biggest things presenters can do, Tom, is they can just expect a late start. I know that sounds a little crazy, but usually what we do is if we get 60 minutes to present, we create this jam-packed 60-minute presentation that has no room for late starts, no room for presenters before us running long. And so then we find ourselves rushing, we're out of our game plan, and it just gets ugly from there.
And you really can't control that part of it. When they hand you the meeting, they hand you the meeting, and then you're still trying to observe the end time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we've got to be flexible and adaptive to our environment. And I find that probably 80% of the presentations, they just don't start or when you expect them to. So let's work that into our game plan if we can. The other part is, I mentioned this already, being ready to close at any time, so that if something doesn't go right, I can go to the close, maybe work in a little Q&A, deliver that presentation, have the notes handy just in case something comes up. But one of the things I always remember is a gentleman at a Honeywell conference I was speaking at. I had probably 150 Honeywell salespeople in the room. And one of the questions I asked the group was, so tell me about your biggest presentation disaster. And I remember this one guy, he held up his hand, he says, I remember it pretty well. And what happened is we had spent about a week or two preparing for this great big presentation up in Canada. There was a lot on the line. The stakes were really, really high. We had worked on this PowerPoint for a long time. And we finally get into the boardroom. We're ready to present, and the PowerPoint file's corrupt. It won't launch. So what he said, what we had to do is we had to, turn off the laptop, turn off the projector, and just talk to our customer, and we won the opportunity. And I, sometimes I think about that. I think what a crutch PowerPoint is, that we need that to be able to say the important things. And yet when we can just talk and interact with people conversationally, it seems to drive our points so much deeper. So the last thought I'll leave you with, Tom, is this. First and foremost, the art of presenting is a relational skill, not a technical one.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, Jim.
You bet.
We'll be continuing our conversation with Jim Endicott with Distinction Communication over the next few weeks, so stay tuned. For more information on Distinction and what they do, check out their website. It's distinction-services.com. That's distinction-services.com. And while you're there, you'll get a lot out of their podcasts and blogs. Until next time, this is Tom Parker with Notes Page.